You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And a very happy Friday to you. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast. This is your daily hub for Sacramento Kings coverage each and every single weekday. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with all the local and national experts, full coverage of the entire Sacramento Kings offseason, getting you through the long months of summer before the start of the 2019-2020 season. Holy smokes, we're getting to 2020 already next year. It's crazy. This is going to be the place that you are going to want to keep coming back to all summer long. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This network continues to grow day by day. So if you call yourself a sports fan, this is the perfect network for you. And we're not just team specific. We have Locked On NBA, which is basically our version of a national show that covers all the biggest stories. So right now they're hitting the playoffs hard. Of course, all the other local Locked On podcasts for every single NBA team. If you're a football guy, we have Locked On NFL with local team podcasts. If you're a baseball guy, we have Locked On MLB with local team podcasts, fantasy sports, college athletics, draft coverage. We have it all for you on this Locked On Podcast Network. So while I encourage you to keep Locked On Kings as your hub and your number one podcast, be sure to branch out and experience some of those and listen to some of those and give the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network a listen. Whether you listen on Himalaya, Spotify, or the iTunes store, it's all available for you free at any time. You can ask any one of your smart devices to play Locked On Podcast or Locked On Kings Podcast or play Locked On NBA Podcast, and it will play for you right then and there. We bring it right to you, and they're all in bite-sized formats, so you can squeeze a bunch into a day, or you can spread them out over the course of the week. Whatever you need to do, we are here for you, and hopefully that you can take the advantage of that, or most advantage of that that you can, and make us part of your routine. We certainly do appreciate it. On today's Locked On Kings podcast, an entire interview, once again dominating the show, as I had the privilege of speaking with Sacramento Kings sideline reporter and TV analyst Katie Hunter. You might know her as Katie Christensen, formerly Katie Christensen. She was married just shy of a year ago. She is now Katie Hunter, but of course, former WNBA player, been the Kings sideline reporter for many, many years. You see her on pre and post game on NBC, covering the Kings all the time. She provides fantastic coverage. She's also a former co-worker of mine, former morning show host on KHDK when I was the producer. She was one of the hosts on the show that I produced. I love her to death, and she is a phenomenal basketball mind, always provides fantastic perspective. And because she is a sideline reporter and because her station is literally right next to the Kings bench, she gets perspective that nobody else gets on a nightly basis. So she's kind enough to spend the time with me. Going to be playing that for you here in just a second. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with the fabulous Katie Hunter about this entire Sacramento Kings season and the future of the Kings with head coach Luke Walton. Happy to be joined by someone who is so much more than the sideline reporter of the Sacramento Kings. I really consider her to be a TV analyst. You see her on pre and post game all the time for Kings games. Also, former Sacramento morning radio show host at KHDK, former co-worker of mine, and of course, former WNBA player. You know her as Katie Christensen, but recently she was married. It's Katie Hunter now. She's also a new mom, but kind enough to take the time here to join us on the Locked On Kings podcast and steal about 15, 20 minutes of her time. Katie, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. How's the little one doing, and how's married life treating you?
Oh, well, she's fantastic. She's great. She's in the living room playing, so hopefully we can sneak that 15 minutes in without her getting a little too demanding. And yeah, married life is great. It's almost been a year now, so it's gone fast.
I completely understand being newly married myself. It's an exciting time, but you had to balance all of that excitement with the excitement of the Kings being, was this their most successful season since you've really started working and covering the team?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Let's see, I think I got here a year or so after they kind of were in the playoffs last, so yeah, my entire time covering them, they've been, you know, trying to get back to that that position back in the playoffs and back to being kind of a player in the West.
And I know you were on leave at the beginning of the season, but you were watching every single game from home, then immediately jumped right back into your duties on the sideline and on pre and post game. At what point did you notice something's different about this team this year and they're really actually going to be competitive and might have a chance to make the postseason?
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, the biggest change I noticed when it happened was during the California Classic here at Golden Run Center. And I knew at that point there was something different about this team. That's kind of the first time we saw the new system implemented, kind of the up-tempo, the run and gun. And they've really taken that to a whole new level. I mean, I was in Phoenix during the D'Antoni and Alvin Gentry days when I was playing in the WNBA. And, you know, when you look at that 7 second or less kind of style that Mike D'Antoni had the Suns playing at the time, it's crazy to think it was so fast, but the Kings actually lead the league this year in 4 or less seconds scoring the ball. So, I mean, they've even taken it to a whole new level, and it caught a lot of teams, a lot of coaches. I remember Steve Clifford talking about it when they were in town of just how crazy it is, the speed to which they're playing. So it was a fun thing to watch kind of transpire.
Many will say I told you so, because many believed that the Kings should be playing this fast tempo offense, that style, especially with De'Aaron Fox as their starting point guard in their future. So not too many people in Sacramento, I suppose, were surprised by them being successful with the pace of play. I don't think they expected the Kings to be as successful as they were, winning 39 games this year. But Katie, as someone who's studied the game of basketball, as someone who has played professionally, is the game sometimes that simple where you just recognize your team's strengths and just play through that?
Oh, I mean, that's the challenge for every coach, is it's not about being kind of leaning towards a style or a philosophy of your own. It has to completely revolve around your personnel. And when Dave Yeager first took the job here in Sacramento, I mean, that's Zach Randolph is on the team. It was, you know, it was a team that was built to be a little bit slower. And then as De'Aaron Fox in his first season really started to show what he was capable of and what style suited him best, the change came in his sophomore year. And so, you know, looking at what they were able to accomplish, it 100% had to do with personnel and just Dave Yeager looking at it and saying, these are our guys for the future going forward, and this is the style that suits them. And that's obviously, as you remember, Zach Randolph started off season not playing. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to be a part of this team. They knew it. That just wasn't the style that they that suited the personnel. And so, I mean, it's obvious to see kind of based on the group and the core of this franchise what is best for them. And to be able to do it in the first year as effectively as they did really just shows you how much potential this team has. Because a running system, it's not about just being fast. It's about a mentality. You have to kind of retrain players. And when I was playing under Paul Westhead in Phoenix, you know, he was the guru of go. The LMU days, when he was with the Lakers, when Magic was a rookie. It's one of those things where you have to train players to think rebound, defensive rebound, run the ball, don't walk it up. When you see the ball go through the basket, it's how you take it out. You don't go and stand. It's like a little banana cut that you take, and all of that shaves seconds off of what you're able to do, how quickly you're able to score. So I think it's impressive that they were able to so quickly adapt mentality-wise to this new system.
One of the most successful parts of this season to me, Katie, was the fact that the Kings and the organization as a whole was able to kind of shake the mantra or the reputation that they've had over the past really decade of not being able to effectively develop young talent. And not only did they, or have they shown an ability to develop young talent, not just one or two guys, but three, four, five guys making jumps and developing over the course of this season, which I think is a massive credit to former Kings head coach Dave Yeager and his entire coaching staff. But I wanted to ask you about these young players and where they can continue to go. You watch them on a daily basis. You're around the bench. You hear their conversations. You hear the lessons that the coaches are trying to share with the players, with every game that goes by. Have many of these players, De'Aaron Fox, Marvin Bagley, Harry Giles, have they even scratched the surface of really how good they can be?
Hardly. I mean, and that says a lot. They've made such massive jumps, but it just tells you where their potential is at. There's so much room for growth. And to look at Marvin Bagley, who just started 4 games this season as a rookie, he was a double-double machine off the bench. And it's just one of those things where I'm taken aback in his rookie as a big at how many different kind of bags of tricks he has, how many different tools in his toolkit in terms of how he operates on the low post. A lot of young post players have a couple moves, and they're usually like a turnaround jumper, a little hook shot. But he showed tremendous potential in terms of what he's able to do on the low block. And then as the season progressed, and I really think it was to do with kind of playing alongside Harry Giles and picking up things from him, his ability to pass and see plays develop was really phenomenal. So I think he is literally just barely starting to show what he's capable of doing. And then the same with Harry. I mean, he came in with the mentality of just, I just want to play. I'm healthy. And so the beginning of the season was a little bit of a rough go for him. He spent some time down with the G League team in Stockton. The one thing I'd like to see Harry do, obviously he passes, he's an elite passing post player. And for his age, that's really shocking in terms of how he sees the floor and the passes he's able to execute. But he needs to start looking more for his offense as well. But, you know, I had done some King Centrals throughout the season, which is, you know, just features on different players for NBC Sports. And when I sat down and talked to Harry, he kind of explained where that passing mentality came from. First of all, every post player in the world, when you're, you know, in high school, you always want to be a guard. So, you know, you want to handle the ball, you want to be able to make plays. But for him, he said, you know, I was always the focal point on every team I was on, and I felt bad. I wanted my teammates to have a little piece of that, you know, sunshine and be able to you know, make plays and be a focal point as well. So that's where that mentality of getting other people involved, passing the ball came from. And to see how he's able to do it at the NBA level, after really having missed several years with injuries, it just tells you where he's going to be in 4 years of just when he has court time at the NBA level, and he develops kind of a rapport with the core guys on this team. It's just an example of where they're going to be. And then De'Aaron, it was shocking to me. There was a move that he made at the very end of the season. I can't remember exactly what game, but I was in the studio, so they were on the road. He had a crossover at the elbow. Mm-hmm. He gets down to the low post, fakes the shot, and then does a Euro step through. I mean, that's an elite level, multiple years of playing experience type move. And as the season went along, especially since the All-Star break, he started busting out these different moves, which really just shows he has a tremendous feel for the game. And that's not something that you can teach. That's just something that you acquire. And to see how quickly he's doing that, I mean, that the core of this group, I don't even think people quite understand what they're capable of.
I want to go back to Harry Giles really quick, because I know you can provide me with some professional or a professional viewpoint that we won't really get anywhere else. One of the things that was most inspiring to me about Harry, and what makes Harry so easy to root for, is the fact that, you know, he's dealt with these horrific injuries that he had that really took him from being potentially a number one overall pick to later in the first round when the Kings took a chance on him, and it seemingly is working out. But we forget that Harry Giles was returning to basketball and starting to play again at the highest level. I mean, the NBA, you know from covering it and from playing in the WNBA, I mean, you are at the best of the best, playing the best of the best every single night. And from the struggles Harry had on day one to how he finished this season, despite the fact that he was injured, to me was inspiring. Can you provide a little perspective on just how difficult of a leap that was for someone coming off of injury to return at the NBA level?
Yeah, and when you look at it, Matt, it's not like he had time to play in college either. He was injured in college, didn't really play. So in essence, the last time that Harry played competitive basketball, he was in high school. And then to go from kind of being on the sidelines, dealing with injuries, to leaping into playing against grown men in a game that's way faster than anything you've ever seen before, and to see how he handled it. I think the struggles in the beginning of the season were more just working into playing at that level,
right,
but also the excitement, right? He was so excited to finally be able to get on the floor that just a lot of his mistakes and struggles were just the excitement, playing too fast, not letting the game come to him. And so to see how quickly he recovered from that and where he finished the season, I think the most difficult part, it's not even just the physical component, it's the mental side of things. A lot of players that have that kind of injury, especially at a young age, are just scared. They're scared of what could happen. They're scared of making moves, of just kind of being out there on the floor. Anything that happens, it's like it's this mental side of, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to get hurt. And you can't play that way, because it will kind of put a damper on your game. You're playing scared. So what he was able to do and just kind of returning, I think the best decision that the Kings made was not having him play in his rookie year. So in essence, this was his rookie year, but it was his second year with the team. They allowed him to physically get back to the place where, from a mental side, he felt confident. And that was the best thing that they could have done. I know a lot, he probably could have played last year, you know, from a health component. They just wanted to make sure that they had gotten him in the best shape as possible, strongest that he could be in terms of his knees. And I think what that allowed him to do was gain some confidence in terms of not being afraid of injury. And so I think that's also kind of why we saw him have such a tremendous year this season. It's just they played it the right way. And you have to commend the organization for what they were able to do with him from a physical component.
Switching gears to the coaching situation and coaching conversation, the Kings getting their offseason off to a ridiculously hot start with letting Dave Joerger go, relieving him of his duties and hiring Luke Walton. I wasn't a biggest fan of the move initially. I thought Dave Joerger did more than enough to deserve to get a contract extension here in Sacramento. I know you had a good working relationship with Joerger on and off the floor, Katie. But all in all, if we can look at the 3 years that Joerger was here, can we deem it really a success and mission accomplished for Joerger, who was brought in to develop these young guys?
I think it's a huge success, because if you look back to when he was hired, DeMarcus Cousins was still on the team. The personnel was so different and the style of play was so different and the expectations were different. They expected him to make a playoff push in his first year, and then they traded away his star player. They completely changed the course of the organization, and he had to adjust to it. He had to adjust the mentality, his style, and the expectations, and say, okay, we have to make a switch towards developing a very young core. And his coaching staff is amazing. And from talking to all the different kind of coaching staffs and media personnel, play-by-play, color analysts, that kind of stuff throughout the league, everybody talks about his staff and how good they are at developing players. And you have to give credit to Dave Joerger, because he put that staff together. And you know, coaching changes are difficult. It's always hard. I've been through multiple of them while I've covered the Kings over the years.
Right.
And it's always sad to see them go, because you do develop relationships with them, you know, all except for one. I wasn't that sad to see go, but I think that was kind of across the board for a lot of people and fans. I will not mention his name, but I think we all kind of know who that was.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to see them go, but at the same time, it is such a common thing in this business. And, you know, for Vlade to make that decision, because Dave Joerger did do an excellent job with this team, but that's a tough call as a general manager to say, you know what, he brought this team to where they are right now, but I don't think it's the right fit going forward. So what Dave brought this team for 3 years was a stability that hadn't been here in some time. And he and his staff developed these players. And, you know, I think, you know, transitioning into another kind of, you know, coach in Luke Walton, I think he is a tremendous fit for this organization.
Right.
Because he and Vlade have a past together. They're on the same page. They understand it's Vade's hire, which Dave Yeager was not. And that always makes it difficult because you have to have a good working relationship with the front office and you have to all be on the same page. And, you know, not that Dave and Vade weren't, but I think that Luke and Vade, it's just a much different fit in terms of it's just a better fit. And I think that what Luke has done in his short coaching career has been really impressive. What he did in L.A., what he endured this last season.
Yeah.
I mean, that just tells you the level, the character that he has. And that's the type of coach that you want. And so even his time with the Warriors, you know, as an assistant and kind of taking over while Steve Kerr had the health issues and what he was able to do. And yeah, a lot of people will say anyone can coach the Warriors. And that's not true. That's not true. And you have to be able to have players buy in. And I think Luke, especially with his playing, understands locker rooms and player mentalities in a way that coaches that didn't play at this level can't ever really do. So I'm excited to see kind of what Luke does. The Lakers and the Kings were so similar in styles the last couple of years. I mean, across the board, if you go through statistical categories, they're so close in everything. They play the same type of style. So I think that Luke is going to be able to really, you know, take this program to the next level.
Final thing for you, Katie, and I know a lot of stuff can change over the course of this summer with free agency or what the Kings try and decide to do in the draft with all the second rounders that they have. But with the introduction of Luke Walton and bringing him in to coach this team, Vlade said multiple times in both of his press conferences that it's all about just taking him to the next step and that Luke Walton was the guy to take the Kings to that next step, which to all of us means making the playoffs and breaking that postseason drought that's just been so bad here in Sacramento for so long. In your mind, is the pressure on Walton and Vlade and the Kings to make the playoffs right away, meaning starting next season, they have to be a postseason team for this to be considered successful? Or the fact that both of them are on four-year contracts, do they have a little more time now? Is it less backs against the wall?
Well, I mean, that's a good question, Matt. It's going to be a different answer whoever you ask.
Right.
Fans are going to have a different point of view. The way I look at it is what the Kings were able to do this season. You want to be able to say, yeah, they absolutely should be in the playoffs next year. But we all live in the reality of the Western Conference.
Right.
It's so dominant. And there are such good teams. For me, the encouraging thing is that this team is trending in that direction. And they kind of, it was the last 3 to 4 weeks of the season where you kind of saw them take a little bit of a dip. And they kind of, the playoff hopes each game got a little bit further away, a little bit further away until they were just basically out of it mathematically. I mean, they would have had to win out and then other teams would have had to help them. So I think if they're in the conversation in the last 2 weeks of the season and they control their fate and we see how they respond to that, here's one thing I know. Playing this type of basketball, the very fast-paced style that the Kings play, I felt a lot of the reason that they struggled kind of the last month and a half, really post All-Star break, was the wear and tear that it takes on you mm-hmm. when you run at that pace. And it's hard to sustain over an 82-game season. You know, De'Aaron Fox played every game except for one this year, and that only was because the organization made a decision in Toronto when they were on the road. It was a back-to-back situation. And they said, hey, we can actually rest him for 3 days before our next game. And so to see that he is able physically to maintain from an injury perspective and be able to run this team at that pace, I think we're going to see an adjustment next year where they've got a year under their belt at playing at that pace. And hopefully we don't see a dip in terms of their pace. I mean, it dropped in the last month, and that happens. You know, it happens when you play at that pace. But what it takes is kind of the experience of how do you maintain your body? How do you maintain that level of play in game 70 of the season versus game 20? It's harder than people realize. So I think they need to be in the conversation. But what I like about the timing of this rebuild, you know, right now, based on, you know, the Kings have been rebuilding for a while since they've been trying to get back in the playoffs. But during that time, you've had the dominance of Golden State, You have Houston. I mean, you've got San Antonio, who just always is a player, regardless of what's going on. What they've been able to do is just a great example of what the Kings should be trying to emulate going forward. Sacramento's a little bit bigger market than San Antonio, so you can see that it is able to happen, even when you're in a small market, to have sustained success over a period of time. So I think the Kings, being young like they are, and the trajectory that they're going on, is perfect timing to where we're going to start to see a little bit of decline with some of the top echelon teams in the West because of age, time together. People are going to start leaving in free agency, going places because their teams can't afford them. And that timing just shows that the Kings are actually going to be at their peak with these young guys starting to enter their prime at the right time. So whether or not they make the playoffs next year, and I think they absolutely can, I just want to see them in the picture in the last week. And we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, I think that 2 years from now, absolutely, they should be in there. That should be the expectation, and that should be the goal next year as well.
That is Katie Hunter. You can see why I call her the sideline reporter, but more importantly, just an NBA and basketball analyst overall. She's got a basketball mind to trump myself and all of us combined. Katie, thank you so much for taking the time to appear here on the Locked On Kings podcast. I hope you have yourself a fantastic summer, and I look forward to seeing and hearing more of your interviews with more of the young guys as we get into media day and the start of next season.
All right, Matt, have a good summer.
Katie is the absolute best. I'm so thankful that she was able to take the time to appear here as one of our exit interviews. I know you've heard her here on this podcast before, a couple times with me, many times with Jason Ross when he used to be the host years ago. She's fantastic. She's, of course, a friend of the show. And if you need someone to just break down the X's and O's of basketball, follow her on social media. Reach out to her anytime you hear her on radio or on TV or via social media, and she will answer your questions, and she provides just phenomenal perspective and phenomenal breakdowns of the game like you got right there. So enjoy, take advantage of that, and I certainly appreciate her taking the time to come on. That'll wrap up another week here on the Locked On Kings podcast. If you could take the time to head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast, if you can leave a review, that helps us out a ton. It could be good, it can be bad, stuff we need to work on. Anything is fair game. We really use that to try and improve as a podcast and a podcast network. So take a time to do that. If you do not mind, you can reach out to me at any time, ask any questions, or get into conversation on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can also email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com, and I look forward to getting into conversation with you. More exit interviews next week, as now we start to get into the slower time of the year. The Kings started the offseason off with a bang, but until really draft time, at least we have the playoffs to hold us over, but until draft time, we hit the lull of Kings coverage. So a lot of interviews and a lot of just basic conversation and previews of the summer to come over the next few weeks here on Locked On Kings, and I hope you join me and are a part of that. Until tomorrow, or really until Monday, have yourself a fantastic weekend. My name is Matt George. I'll be speaking to you on Monday. You've been listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.